Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. We welcome you back to CUTV News Radio. It's a pleasure to be here. I am Doug Llewellyn, and I'm delighted to have Betsy Theodore back with us. Betsy was here a week ago. She's a fascinating lady with an amazing story, and she is a writer. She writes poetry, believe it or not. There are a lot of people, you know, who do write poetry, and they don't get very well known, or they don't get their works out there. But Betsy does. She self-publishes her books and her poetry, and it's extraordinary, and we chatted with her last week. She is the author of a book called Dance with Your Journey, and it's a collection of her inspirational and uplifting poetry and quotes. And as she points out, a self-help poem or quote can really give you inspiration and light to live another day. Her book is about loving life and about embracing every moment given to us. Always dance with your journey is the way she puts it. She's just done an amazing job, and we are really thrilled to have her back again. I want to point out a few things. Some of you may have heard her interview a week ago, but for those of you who didn't, you're in for a real special surprise. Her book was published in April, just a couple of months ago, and it's called From a Lifetime of Expression in the Face of Adversity. Imagine now, think about her life. She was adopted at the age of 3 by a very incredible family, and she was only 9 when she wrote her first quote, "My life is a beautiful note in God's symphony." That's what she wrote at the age of 9. Her writing has always been therapeutic for her, she says, and she writes about her feelings, and when she did, she knew from people's reaction that it was kind of different coming from a kid. Her book includes poetry that she wrote as a child and her poetry in school and also poetry that she writes today. And it's basically a story of her journey of learning to be a very confident woman. At 22, something really seriously happened. Betsy was diagnosed with endometriosis, and that required her to undergo chemotherapy, and that sort of changed things for her life. She started writing a lot more seriously about her illness, and she said that changed her completely and totally. Being 22 years old and being told she had that and went through a lot of changes at being a relatively young age, both emotionally and physically, she started living her life and she stopped being afraid. And that inspired her to write beautiful and enlightening poems. And there are a number of them. And the names won't mean anything to you if you don't hear the poem, but one was called Ocean's Desire, another called Weary Boots. And those poems evoke the sensation of life and remaining present in our gratitude. So anyway, Betsy's purpose is she's hoping this material, the book she writes, her poetry, inspires other young girls and all forms of women, no matter what period of life they're going through. So it's a delight to welcome Betsy back. And I also want to point out, not only is she a writer, she owns a business. And her business is very well known throughout the area where she lives. She lives, by the way, in Salem, Ohio. It's in the Akron, Ohio area, not far from Akron. But she has a cleaning company called the Theodore Cleaning Crew, and it's a commercial and residential cleaning company that has over 1,000 clients in 3 states. So it's quite successful, to say the least. It's very well known for its philanthropic efforts in the community. And recently, they offered free cleaning services to anyone who had cancer. And she did that in honor of her father, who passed away 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago. As she points out, he was her hero and her rock, and she thinks he would be incredibly proud. And, you know, I am sure he is. So let's welcome our guest back to the CUTV new microphones, Betsy Theodore in Salem, Ohio. Betsy, good morning, or actually good afternoon
morning.
Now. Welcome to you. Nice to have you back. How are you?
Good afternoon, Doug. I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the show today. I'm excited to speak with you.
It's our honor to have you. I know you talked last week about a lot of all these things, so I tell you what, we're going to talk about your book in a little bit, but let me ask you about this cleaning company that you have that has clients in 3 different states. How, you know, that's pretty amazing. Tell me how it started and how you've been able to enlarge it to encompass the area that you now operate in. God, that's remarkable. What happened?
Well, in 2010, shortly after I went through the chemotherapy, I was working in retail for many years. I started at 17 and worked my way up through different companies and with amazing leaders and leadership throughout that. And I ended up losing my job because the sickness just overtook my ability to be who I was at that time. And I was able to come back home, take some time off, and really focus on my health. And during that time, I started cleaning for a couple friends. Good girlfriends that I was growing up with, she actually told me, you know, you should start your own company. So, and I was like, no, I don't know if I can. And then finally I did. I was having a hard time finding somewhere to meet the ability of what I was doing and the amount of salary I was making in the city compared to coming back home. So I borrowed a bucket from my mom and I, you know, worked really hard throughout the years because I started my business in 2011 and I worked full time and cleaned on the nights and my weekends off. And I eventually, when I got pregnant with my daughter, I was, you know, I worked at a contracting company. I worked at another retailer and then I was at a bank. I was a bank manager. And I decided to focus on the cleaning company so I could be the mother that I need to be for her. And it took off. So I'm very extremely blessed with all the family that have supported me, friends and my community. And that's why I give back, especially for, you know, the cancer victims, friends that I've grown up with, if their mothers are going through something or anyone in our area, you know, in honor of my father. So
that's so good for you.
Thank you.
Your offer, you just said now that you're offering free cleaning to people with cancer. That's a very generous offer, to say the least. Are these businesses that you're doing that for, or do you also clean for individual, you know, homeowners and clients?
We do residential and commercial. So we do construction cleanouts. And I have a mainly residential and within my area that I keep closer to home. But we do travel out to three different states for other companies within the construction, whether it's a new home being built or a business, a store retailer that we do construction cleanouts for.
That's a unique aspect of the cleaning business, a construction cleanout.
Yes.
This means while the building is being built, construction is ongoing, or does it mean the building has finally been finished and you're cleaning it out, ready for the building to open? Which would it be?
Whenever the building is ready to be opened, whenever the store is about to open. Yes, we do those construction cleanouts.
My father was really in construction.
Yes, my father was in construction for over 30 years. He did a custom building, so it's nothing new to me. I think my first job site I ever was on was when I was three, on my first construction site. And so it's a very normal setting for me to be on. It's actually humbling.
How big has your company grown to do that, you know, to cover? By the way, what three states? You're based in Ohio. What other states do you clean in?
We cover down in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. I've gone as far as Massachusetts to do a cleaning. Kentucky, we really, you know, wherever the cleaning is happening, if it's, you know, worth our time to go out to, then we will go to it. So.
Wow, that's impressive.
Very thankful for it. Yes.
Very impressive.
Thank
how
you.
Big a crew do you have? How many employees do you have?
It's not very big at all. I have an amazing crew, and it's not very big at all. I'm very hands-on. I think it's important for entrepreneurs, even starting out a company. I think it's important to be that leadership, to go out and do the job with them, setting that example, making sure that they understand the expectation and leading that expectation as well. with the respect, I feel like you get receive more respect by going out and actually doing the same job that they're that you expect them to do.
So. No doubt about that. The boss is on the scene. Just quickly, I don't want to focus exclusively on this, but I want to ask you, what is different from that aspect of a cleaning crew versus a company that goes in every week, you know, and vacuums the floor and dusts for a commercial entity? Doing a after-construction cleanup, what does that involve? I mean, it sounds like it could be pretty pretty complex.
It is. We have offices as well. Local offices that we're thankful for because it's nice and local for my workers. It's a different aspect as you're dealing with construction dust or, you know, it's a different cleaning compared to your residential. It's sometimes harder work depending on the aspect of the cleaning and, you know, the build. So it's definitely challenging at moments, but
I would think
get the job done, and yeah.
One has the image of a lot of dirt, you know, maybe pieces of wood or stuff like that being left around.
Yes.
It's not just your typical dust, right? It's much more than that.
You can't be afraid to get dirty.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to get down, and yeah, it's not something that you want to get your nails done.
Listen, anybody who's interested in needing a cleaning crew, I know you have a website for that, and let me give it to you. Obviously, your name is Betsy Theodore, so your company is called TheodoreCleaningCrew.com. That's the website, TheodoreCleaningCrew.com. Anyone listening, wherever you are, if you want more information on this company and their, you know, the ability to come where you are, if you're somewhere near the state of Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania even, my goodness, Kentucky, that's very impressive. Well, let me talk to you now about your books and about your writing. I gave obviously a little bit of your story about how you started writing when you were very young as a child, and then you've continued it on through your life, and you're still doing it today. You have your own website. You have books on there. Let's get into this. What inspired you to first start writing? Do you recall? I mean, most kids don't start writing at the early age that you did.
You know, I can't recall exactly a moment where it triggered anything, but I did start writing, and it was therapeutic for me. Even growing up as a teenager, I started writing more. I used to write poems for my father and my mother, and it just started in that aspect of showing emotion on paper and expressing it that way and giving it to them as like a gift. And
you wrote,
then reading my poetry.
You wrote that your first quote, the one I read in the opening, "My life is a beautiful note in God's symphony." You wrote that when you were 9. What I find interesting is you saved it. I mean, you know, I've had children. And who write things, and they draw pictures and everything all through their year. But boy, oh boy, most of that, you know, that material doesn't get saved. You saved yours, which is, I think, amazing. Were you encouraged to by your parents? Did they save it?
Oh, they always, yes. And they always encouraged anything positive like that in my life. I really, at a young age, understood what it was like to have such an incredible family, and was so appreciative and so blessed to have that early on. They told me I was adopted when I was 5. So my whole life I understood I could have had a different life, and I didn't. And I had a different life because of them, and they gave that opportunity to me. And so I always gave that gratitude back to them. I could never even express how much I love them and so appreciative for the life and the leadership of a parent as a best friend that they have given me. So I think it's, you know, it was rare that I understood and respected that aspect from my parents. But that was a quote, how I really felt my entire life. You know, my life was a beautiful note in God's symphony. And I remember listening to classical music when I was going to bed, and it came across me as an emotion very young on. So
that's beautiful. That's just beautiful. So anyway, that you started then basically, you know, maybe even earlier than the age of nine, but you remember that one quote you wrote at the age of nine, and then you continued on, and you started writing throughout your young years, and you have a book that includes poetry that you wrote as a child. When you look at it now, does it sound like a child's writing, you know, as you look back on what you wrote? Because that first quote does not sound like a child's writing.
No.
My life is a beautiful note in God's symphony. That you know, you could be 60 years old and write that kind of a quote, and it'd have serious meaning to you.
Yes. I mean, there's different moments, and I know that it's from my childhood, but I still feel that from this day. I guess it depends on the reader, the viewer, or whoever's listening, how it makes them feel. But, you know, it's my point to get that across to them, to make them feel what I'm writing, to make them understand that, you know, simple quote of such gratitude in my life.
Well, as you've written it, your writing is basically, it's a trace of your journey through life.
Yes.
To becoming a confident woman. Let me ask you about the illness that you were diagnosed with at the age of 22. I pointed out it's endometriosis. A lot of listeners may not understand what that is. Could you explain briefly what endometriosis is, how that affected you?
It affected me tremendously. Over 5.5 million women are diagnosed with this condition, which they still have no understanding of what causes the disease. It's the lining of your uterus, and it starts attaching to your other organs. It could attach to your stomach. It can attach to your colon. It can attach to your ovaries and cause a lot of damage. I had two surgeries, and before my second surgery, they underwent with the chemotherapy, which is used for prostate cancer as well. They have different stages, and my sisters had it, my aunts had it. It's been a progress. I mean, so many women, so many people in my community, friends that I've grown up with, have it. It's a very common condition that they're still trying to figure out what causes it, and the proper treatment for it as well.
Wow!
So
is it very debilitating? I mean, did it affect you physically?
Yes.
In your
yes.
daily activities? It did. Okay.
Yes, and that it caused chronic fatigue. There's a lot of complications that come with it. With any chronic disease, it affects your ability to be your normal energetic self, and people that don't have it or a chronic illness, it's hard for them to understand unless they're in that position. So that's what affected me. I went from a whole different person. It changed me physically incredibly. And then going through the different hormone treatments, they put me in a state of clinical menopause during mm-hmm. the chemotherapy. So it causes infertility, which when I had my daughter was amazing because didn't think I was going to be able to have children.
Have a child, sure, yeah.
Yes, so.
You wrote that as a result of that and the changes that you went through, both emotionally and physically, you started living your life. And you stopped being afraid. Explain that aspect of how it affected you. What did you mean by that? You started living your life.
Well, when you come across something at such a young age of the unknown, which a lot of people come through, even if they're not sick, just the unknown, the fear of the unknown, what's going to happen. I let the fear go, and I realized life is too short to not go out and do what you really want to do, what desires your heart, what desires your goals or your dreams. And when I got sick, I got more serious about my writing, but was taking everything else with a grain of salt. I you know, don't take advantage of my energy that I have now compared to what it was, you know, 10 years ago when I was diagnosed with it. You take those little things for granted and you learn that you have to embrace every moment and stop having that fear. Stop, you know, being worried about the small things in life and not just sweat the small things in life and really love every day, because you never know what you're going to, you never know what's going to occur in the next
moment.
Boy,
that's so true. You just never know. That's right. Well, let's talk about how your writing and your poetry has affected your life and how you're doing it today. Number one, you're running a company, so you're a busy lady. Do you still write a lot? I mean, do you have sections of your day mapped out to where you want to try and write, or do you write when it just when the inspiration hits you? How does it work?
I do both. I, you know, when I have a moment, sometimes I'll sit down and write. Last night I was writing. On my second book that I plan on hopefully by the end of this year will be called Chasing My Gypsy Soul. I was working on that last night. So it just, you know, whether I'm running my business or doing my schedule for my business, and then I'll switch over and open up my journal and start writing. It just happens sometimes, and sometimes I like to just sit down and write just for, you know, therapy. It's my therapy. So
now you're writing poetry rather than short stories per se. A lot, you know, there are a lot of people who don't understand how poetry really works. Define for me what poetry is to you. What's the best way to describe what you write?
Well, I try to put a different aspect on it, and I like to be able to write any form of poetry. There are so many different forms of poetry. And to be able to reach out to different people, a different crowd, you know, one poem might affect someone so deeply where that poem might not affect someone, but another poem will. Just reaching out to a different volume of people and inspiring them in each or whatever journey that they may be going through at that moment. So,
is there a specific number of lines you have to have? Because poetry can be long, it can be short. And the other thing is, does it rhyme? Does it have to rhyme? Some poetry rhymes, you know.
Yes.
But others doesn't. How does your poetry, what's it like?
I reach out to everything. I have poems that rhyme. I have poems that are quick and to a short example of what, you know, getting to the point of that vision. And I have, you know, longer poems that are expressing a story, a moment. And I think a lot of people misunderstand poetry because of that. I think they think it's supposed to rhyme. When I was younger, I did. So, but I was able to put a twist on it as well. And as I grow, I think it's projecting more of the story and projecting the feeling or the passion of that part of my journey, or even someone else's. You know, even if I've heard a story, I can sit down and write a poem and express it in a poem form to each individual reader.
You know, I'm looking at your website, and there are portions of some of your poems. One of the titles really stands, Keep Your Kisses. I love that.
Yes.
that's a great title. That's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Obviously, how many, well, I'm kind of silly to ask you how many poems you write, but you have books out there. Your website, you know, it came up to me. You said beautiful, bravely beautiful book, bravelybeautifulbooks.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's my website. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
And I just started a Twitter account, so it's on there as well.
God. It'd be fun. We didn't ask that. You want to read a poem? You don't have to.
Sure. I'll read Keep Your Kisses. The one that you just mentioned.
I love the title.
Okay.
Keep Your Kisses.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Betsy Theodore. Now, and Keep Your Kisses. You're on, Betsy.
Thank you. Let the sounds of the night swallow you with silence, opening your eyes as the warm orange glow of the sunset haunts your heart, blinding what's in front of you, falling into the next chapter of character. Be as brilliant as the Beatles, colorless of a city, brave as a warrior that's never been wounded. Let the fear wash away with its tide, love without limits, and keep your kisses.
Oh, that's beautiful. I wish I had music I could play.
Right.
We've been prepared to do that. That would have been marvelous. That's gorgeous. Now, that's a relatively short poem. Is that kind of typical of the length of most of yours, or do some of them go on for a number of pages?
No, that's a shorter one. Some of them are even shorter quotes, and then some of them are longer. So it just depends on the poem. So.
Tell me about the book itself, Dance With Your Journey. Tell me about that book. It's as I understand, as we pointed out, culled from a lifetime of expression by you in the face of adversity. What's the book about? And how it's a collection of poems, I presume?
Yes, it's a collection of poems and quotes. I have, 69 pages. It's basically just a journey of different emotions, growing as a person, something that may affect, like I said before, one reader and inspire, to lift them up. And some of it's with, grieving of my father, or even a poem I wrote for him years ago with just how I heard him. I was always listening to him and the inspiration that he had embraced on me. So it's embracing, it's inspiring, it's God's confidence, finding that part of you, making sure that you, let yourself heal and find yourself and not be apologetic to be you. It's enlightening, and I hope it helps and heals other people or inspires other people as they're reading.
Here's one of your poems. When life gives you 100 reasons to break down and cry, show life you have 1,000 reasons to smile and laugh. That's cool. That's cool.
Yes.
That's good. Betsy, this has been great chatting with you. Unfortunately, we're slowly running out of time here. You have the one book, Dance With Your Journey. You're working on other books as well? You're going to keep writing?
Yes, I'm going to keep writing. And the next one is going to be Chasing My Gypsy Soul. It's going to be more of a memoir with some poetry as well. So short stories and chapters throughout my life about my adoption. I want to help inspire other parents to adopt and save a life for other families, children, giving them that chance. So
that's wonderful. How beautiful. All right. Well, Betsy, thank you so much. Betsy Theodore has been our guest. She's based in Salem, Ohio, and she writes these beautiful the poems that end up in books. And if you go to her website, you will find all kinds of information about the books, Bravely Beautiful Books. You can also connect with Betsy on Facebook. And you can learn about when other books are coming out. You get the books through that website. And also, let me remind you again, she has this fantastic cleaning company, and the company's web address is TheodoreCleaningCrew.com. TheodoreCleaningCrew.com and BravelyBeautifulBooks.com. That's the story. Betsy, thanks for your time. It's been a delight chatting with you. I really loved it. Okay?
Thank you so much, Doug. Have a wonderful day.
You are so welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Hope so. You too. That's it for us, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being here. See you next time on CUTV News Radio. And until then, have a great day. Bye for now.